So, Larry, do you have video number four queued on up for us?
Here it comes.
Welcome to the Hall of Fame History Project as we celebrate our 90th anniversary.
Alan Jenkins. Alan was also very involved in the National Federation of the Blind before he transferred over to the California Council of the Blind when the organization split up. Passionately devoted to the organized blind movement. Alan was strongly imbued with the view that blind people could do almost anything they set out to do if they had the proper training and skill set and attitudes. As administrator of the Orientation Center for the Blind for many years, he led that entity with that particular attitude. He felt that if he could instill an attitude that in you, that you could accomplish whatever you set out to do. And if he trained you with the skills that you needed, you know, orientation and mobility and cooking and sewing or shop or whatever it was, technology later on, that you could succeed. This led to some degree in some problems because he wasn't big on sort of the mental health implications of blindness. And later on, there was a shift, I think, in how the Orientation Center for the Blind was administered to focus more on mental health. However, one can't understate the importance of the idea of a blind person being able to accomplish whatever he or she would like to do if you only put your mind and heart into it. And that was Alan. Alan was a great writer, tremendous resolution writer. But the main difference between him and Perry was that Alan was sort of aloof. He was sort of a figure over and above the rest of us. I never really felt I knew him very well, although we certainly knew each other. But Alan was a visionary and a very passionate man.
Juliet Esterly Bint. Don Quinn provided this information compiled from various forum articles. Juliet Esterly Bint was one of the original counselor teachers of the blind who brought independence to newly blind Californians. She was born on May 31, 1912 in Los Angeles, daughter of Roy Brooks and Cora Mae Hurley King. She married Henry M. Bint on May 30, 1937, divorced 1942. She married Everett Esterly October 30, 1971. Legally blind, she lost her sight completely as an adult. She attended Scripps College on a four-year scholarship and graduated in 1934. When Scripps established a Phi Beta Kappa chapter, Juliet was invited to join and represent all previous alumni. In 1936, she was a consultant on blindness for Universal Studios for the movie The Magnificent Obsession. She later completed graduate studies in social welfare at UC Berkeley, with a Master of Arts in Social Services in 1939, and in 1948 was certified to teach blind by the University of Washington. Her first job was as a social worker for the blind at the Alameda County Welfare Department. She was later employed by the state of California for nearly 30 years as home teacher counselor, with a territory covering California's northern counties. During this time, she wrote the first real how-to handbook for blind people, which was published in 1952 and later translated into Braille and talking books. I remember listening to it being read by Alexander Scorby, a strong advocate for Braille. Juliet Bent attended a conference in London in 1989 to deliver a paper on the changes in the Braille code. Always an activist with outspoken opinions, she belonged and exercised a leadership role in many professional and advocacy organizations, both blind and sighted. Juliet was a charter member on the board of directors for the American Council of the Blind and was given its Ambassador Award in 1973. She also served as president of the Associated Blind of California, the first California affiliate of the ACB. When this group merged with the California Council of the Blind, she also served on the new board of directors. She was a three-term president of the Retired Public Employees Association in Contra Costa County. She died on December 20, 2001, after a short illness.
The first person I think I want to talk about that I really don't know very much about is Ernest Crowley. I know that Ernest was a lawyer, and his primary distinction is that he's the only one of us that actually got into the legislature. And he did a lot to move our bills through the bowels of the legislature, so to speak, and get them passed. I never met him. I did hear about a time when there was a power outage in the legislature, and you know, legislative halls typically don't have windows. If the lights go out, there's no light. It's dark. And they say that there was quite a thing going on when all the members of the legislature were looking for Ernest to help him get out of the building. They figured he knew his way out of the building, which I suppose he did. That means they at least respected his abilities.
We'll be back later with another episode from our Hall of Fame History Project.
My goodness, all of that history is so cool because I have to tell you guys, I didn't listen to any of these at all. I wanted to be just as surprised as everyone else. And check it out. There are a lot of relation to Department of Rehabilitation, teacher counselors, Orientation Center for the Blind. Very, very, very cool. Madam Treasurer, are you around to give us a door prize?
I'm here.
All right.
Let's see if I can successfully share my screen again. There we go.
Woohoo!
Okay, so we are doing a $25 gift card. Generously provided by Silicon Valley Chapter. And our winner is one of my chapter members, Jan Carmichael. Congratulations,
woo-hoo!
Jan.
I know that chick.
I know that chick too.
I know. That's so cool. And hey, I have to say, I like the new music. I think we should keep up the theme of kind of changing it up here and there. It makes it a lot of fun. All right, Madam Treasurer, are you around?
I'm here.
Woohoo! Let's do a door prize.
Okay. Let's get the screen share. And we are doing another $25 gift card generously provided by Orange County Chapter. So let's get this wheel spinning. And our winner is Christy Crespin. Congratulations, Miss Christy.
Oh, I know that chick. Awesome. Congratulations, Christy. And thank you, Madam Treasurer, for your fun wheel. That's so much fun. All right. So I want to thank all of you for being here today with us this afternoon. I think this has been a really, really great session. It's always my pleasure to preside over the Friday afternoon session. It's a lot of fun, and there's always great stuff that we can learn. I also want to thank Desi. Desi did a wonderful job. And Belle, thank you for coming in and streaming for us as well. And now we are going to close us out with one more of our Hall of Fame history lessons. And before that, though, just a reminder, come back at 6 p.m. Tonight we'll have our elections. And so we definitely want to make sure that all of our delegates are there. And also remember that if somehow you didn't get your voting information, or your dog ate it, or you lost it, we will have a number that people can call to get that information to them. So again, come back at 6. Information's been sent out for all members of CCB to join in. And with that, we're going to close it on out. Larry, are you ready?
Welcome to the Hall of Fame History Project as we celebrate our 90th anniversary.
Next, I have John Lopez. I had the privilege of interviewing John Lopez's widow a few years ago when I was editor of The Blind Californian. We have that article in our archives. John was president of the CCB in the mid-90s. Why is this important? The real question was, who could follow Bob Acosta as president of the CCB? He had been president for over a quarter of a century, during the old ACB, the old NFB years, during the time when we were out in the wilderness, and when we merged with the ACB. But who would follow him? Well, it was John Lopez who followed him. He proved that someone could follow a strong president. He was no one's puppet, and he led the organization for two very successful years.
George Fogarty, he's not a guy that I really knew well. He was one of these guys that everybody knows and so forth. He sings Irish songs, and he's kind of loud, and everybody knows who he is. But I never knew him really closely. He was very close to Bob Campbell. There was always George and Bob, and Bob and George. George Fogarty was a counselor and a really important, I think, as an advocate for jobs for people. We had a number of people in the movement that could go out to a job and actually sit down and do the job to show the people that a blind person could do it. That's kind of critical. I don't see it happening as much anymore as it used to.
Norma Schechter. I didn't know Norma as well as some of the others that I'm going to mention, but Norma was an Orange County transcriber. She was a sighted person, but what was rare about Norma is not only was she active in what is now California Transcribers and Educators of the Blind and Visually Impaired, but she was also active in education issues, especially for CCB. She felt that consumers played a really important role in advocacy, not just teachers and transcribers, et cetera, et cetera. She came to a lot of conventions. She contributed. She volunteered. Very nice person. Highly respected within the special education community, and just really an excellent contributor to CCB as well. We don't find very many people that sort of cross those lines like Norma did.
Our next Hall of Famer from Silicon Valley Council of the Blind is Mike Keithley. Mike Keithley is a quiet force behind the work of CCB. He is a fine example of someone that brings talent and treasure to our organization. As far as talent is concerned, Mike has been the long-term editor of the Blind Californian. He also supports us in our newsletter. He serves on the TOG, which is the Technology Operations Group. This group is responsible for not only maintaining our website, but every aspect of technology that goes on within our organization. And I think one of Mike's great accomplishments is that he brings awareness as well as processes to place for CCB to make sure that we are inclusive for our members who also have hearing impairment. He brings his treasure in making sure that we have the tools to do that through listening devices that he has donated. And Mike quietly donates every year to the work of CCB to make sure that we can continue our work through his donations and through his talent.
Next person, Raymond Henderson, born in 1881. Mr. Henderson attended what was known then as the California School for the Deaf, Dumb, and Blind. Mr. Henderson acquired in 1904 a degree from the University of California at Berkeley, which was the foundation for him to then become a self-taught attorney, later taking the bar exam. He was also considered himself as a reformer. He joined the blind movement later in life. He was not involved in the organizing meeting in 1934. He was a longtime colleague of Dr. Perry and Dr. Tenbrook. He was known for mentoring a lot of the young people that were blind or low vision going to college in Bakersfield. He was considered as one of the pioneer leaders of the movement at the time. One of his well-known accomplishments was securing from the then known as the Social Security Board a rational interpretation of the Social Security Act as it pertained to the blind. He had the belief that only blind people could understand what the needs were for other people who are blind, and that is the reason he felt that problems of the blind could only be solved through their own organizations, such as the Council. Mr. Henderson accepted becoming the Federation's executive director in 1943 and held that office until his death in 1945. And no, I did not know the man personally.
We'll be back later with another episode from our Hall of Fame History Project.